So thankful that we can make this connection. Appreciate it so much. It's wonderful to stand up here and see people out there. And if you're watching online, we just want to say we miss you. And I hope you come back as soon as you can. It's not fair that you can see me, but I can't see you. So let's fix that. And if you come on Saturdays, there's lots of room. If you come first service on Sunday, lots of room. So come on back when you can. I don't know if you heard the news story about the truck that was carrying 2,000 pounds of hair for making wigs was driving through New Jersey, and the hair fell off the truck on the New Jersey Turnpike, and it was causing this huge traffic backup. The police are still combing the area. Grin or groan. We are combing the scriptures, looking for miracle stories that relate to our series, Mountains Will Move. And we're talking about connecting the supernatural work of God into the natural day-to-day life that you and I live. And there are those connections. We're looking for an increase of God's supernatural work and intervention into our difficult circumstances. I think we'd have to admit that that would be a good thing. Right, to have God's divine intervention into the hard, difficult, challenging places of our life. And so what part do you play in, you know, bringing that about? Is there something you do or can do or should do to encourage the release of the Holy Spirit? And I'd like to suggest that as you grow in faith and as you exercise your faith, there are things you can do. Mountains will move when you do those things. And when I talk about mountains, I'm talking about those impossible things in life that seem so large, so tall, so immovable, so insurmountable, so stubborn, so well established that they just won't move unless God moves and does something divine. And we have things. You know what those things are in your life, but you bring into the place of worship with you. For some people, either here or listening online, maybe it's a struggling marriage. And you need God's help to get that thing to move in the right direction. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's a money problem or a work problem or a relationship problem. Or it's a challenge that's happening in your family with your children or with your grandchildren. Maybe it's a stubborn, sinful habit that you've been struggling with for years. And it just won't dislodge. Or maybe it's an addiction. There could be mountains in life that can move with God's help. They can. He's a miraculous, supernatural, miraculous God. And I like what pastor and teacher, author John Piper said about this. And I do have this on a slide, I think. He said, Jesus Christ is not dead, and he's not distant, and he's not silent, and he's not weak, and he's not uninterested in the world and the progress of his mission, and in your life. He is alive, and what he began to do in his earthly life, he is continuing to do. God still works miracles. Now, if I had a subtitle for this message, it would be, Don't Let Your Miracle Pass You By. And we're going to be looking at a story again this weekend that happens in the last week of Jesus' life, just like we looked at last weekend. We're in the last week of Jesus' life, and Jesus and his disciples are heading to Jerusalem for the Passover. It's a road trip with Jesus, and this is the last time that Jesus would pass through the city of Jericho in his earthly life, and likely the miracle we're going to look at today is likely the last miracle that Jesus performed or did. It's at least the last one that seems to be recorded in Scripture before Jesus was crucified. So if you dial up Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at verses 35 to 43. So they're on the road, they're heading to Jerusalem, they're passing through Jericho. And it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now if you could push the pause button just for a second there. We happen to know this blind man's name. If you read the Gospel of Mark's account, his name is Bartimaeus, right? You maybe have heard that. And in Bartimaeus's day and in that society, a blind person was actually considered cursed. They were in the lowest part of the strata. They would be at the bottom of the social strata, below the peasants, below the unclean, below degraded sinners. They would be a nuisance, an outcast, a beggar. That's what Bartimaeus was. And so there he is on the side of the road begging. In verse 36, it says, when he heard the crowd going by, now I'm going to push the pause button again because I need to paint this picture in your mind for you. There was a very large crowd because it was Passover time. And there were many people heading to Jerusalem for the Passover. And the road would have been jammed with people. And Jesus alone would bring a crowd. This is the end of his ministry, and he had a reputation, and people followed him wherever he went. And so there would have been this large crowd, and people would have been on the roadside trying to sell their wares. And beggars would be along the roadside too, trying to get a collection from people. So there was a very large crowd that was going by. And so when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He, Bartimaeus, called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. That was probably Jesus' closest disciples that did that. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now I see in this story, as I studied it, four keys in developing and exercising mountain-moving faith. Okay, so we're going to use Bartimaeus as our example, and we're going to find these four keys. Here's the first one. Bartimaeus grasped who Jesus really was. Okay, he knew it. He got it. He had it. It clicked for him. It connected for him. Soon as he heard who Jesus was. In the little subpoint, if you're filling out the message notes, it says, Bartimaeus may not have had eyesight, but he did have insight. He did. He knew that Jesus could help him as soon as he heard that it was Jesus passing by. Notice how and when he calls to Jesus, Luke 18:38, he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this is interesting because it said Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. This is very revealing. This is a messianic title. Right away, Bartimaeus is expressing faith just by calling Jesus the son of David. He recognizes who Jesus is, that Jesus is Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one from God. That's what he was calling him. And later on in verse 41, we'll see in a minute, he also calls him Lord, which is the Greek word kurios, which is supreme one, great one, controller of all things. So he calls him that. And he says, have mercy on me. Now, I believe that Bartimaeus, because he recognized who Jesus was as Messiah, wasn't just asking for mercy on his physical body, but he was also asking for mercy on his soul. I believe he recognized that Jesus as Messiah could also bring forgiveness of sins. Now, he likely heard of Jesus' reputation. He certainly knew who Jesus was, and this created an excitement in him. It created an anticipation. It already was stirring up his faith. So here's the first application. If you want to develop mountain-moving faith, step one, base level, foundationally, you have to be convinced about who Jesus is, that he's Messiah, that he's Savior, that he's King, that he's Lord, that he's healer, that he's miracle worker. You have to be convinced of that on the base level if you're going to develop mountain-moving faith. And Bartimaeus had that. Here's the second key. Bartimaeus persisted despite discouragement. So after his initial crying out, the crowd tells him, probably Jesus' disciples, tell him to be quiet. Luke chapter 18, 38 and 39, he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, here's a little Bible study tidbit, and you can look this up yourself if you can figure out how to use a Strong's Concordance. Real easy to do online, but it's really cool to see the difference between the two words when Bartimaeus first called out, and then it says, and then he called out or he shouted all the more. Two different Greek words, and it's kind of cool. The literal meaning of those words, when in verse 38, when it says he called out, it says to shout in a loud and tumultuous way. So already it's loud. But then in verse 39, where it says he shouted all the more, it means to croak as a raven or to scream, to shriek, or to exclaim. So when he's told to be quiet and leave Jesus alone, he cries out all the more and all the louder. So the next little subpoint in your message notes is this. Bartimaeus got a miracle for crying out loud. I like that. His desire overcame his discouragement. He was being discouraged, but his desire to connect with Jesus overcame that. His desire to meet the Savior overcame that. So what discouragement do we need to get past in order to develop mountain-moving faith? It could be the voices within us or around us that are telling us that we're wasting our time looking for a miracle. In our waiting and pursuing, we might be discouraged when there's delays in answer to prayer. You've been praying for years, for decades. You're discouraged. Here's one that I thought of. We don't maybe think about this too much, and probably talking to the wrong people about this, but maybe not. Spiritual apathy. Like, you know, the spiritual side of you really is not, it's not living, it's not growing, it's not moving. And so you can kind of become apathetic, and the flesh kind of takes over, and you're not even praying, actually. You're not even looking, you're not even asking. And so what do you do? What's a good way to combat this? And this is where fasting and prayer comes in. As we take these 21 days, and I'm inviting you as a part of the Journey family to connect in this if you can, even on any level. On the welcome desk, we have these brown pieces of paper that talk about fasting and prayer. So you can read about different ways that you can connect in fasting and prayer. On the backside, it has the Daniel fast. That's a specific kind of fast. We're already 1 week into that. But I would say jump in if you want. I would say dive in deep, because I think that this would do battle against spiritual apathy, is to really show your seriousness before the Lord in connecting in some kind of fasting and prayer. And it'll help you, and it'll benefit our church family, because this is something we're doing together. So I'm very excited about that. Mountain-moving faith persists past discouragement. All right, here's the third key that we see from this scripture story. Bartimaeus believed Jesus could do something to help him. Of course, it was this belief that motivated him to call out and persist in the first place. So he's already showing that. But also, his answer to Jesus' question is also revealing about his faith in Jesus. Luke 18:40-42, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." His simple answer, "I want to see," is a testament to his faith in Jesus. He asked for the impossible. But he believed, he had faith that Jesus could do the impossible. And so he expressed it out. I wonder if there was even a small temptation. If not in Bartimaeus, maybe in those around him, when Jesus asked that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" It'd be like, "Are you blind?" Because I'm a blind guy and I'm a beggar. What do you think I need? But I don't think Bartimaeus had that at all. I think he was like, "I think I'm going to get a miracle. Jesus has asked me what I want. I'm going to ask for the most. I'm going to shoot for the stars. I want to see." What if you heard Jesus' voice as he was passing by today? What if he posed that question to you? What do you think would be the first thing that would come to your mind? What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want. So, in the message notes, I have that little phrase, "Lord, I want," and then just a blank line after that. And I wonder if you don't fill that in right now, if you would think about that. Maybe that's something you would fill in, or maybe that's something that would start to enter your times of seeking God and asking God. Maybe you would answer, "Lord, I want forgiveness from the things that I've done wrong." Maybe you would answer, "Lord, I want spiritual renewal in my life," or "I want help with my hurting marriage," or "I want money to pay my bills," or "a job that provides a steady income," or "I want healing in my body or in my family. I want freedom from addiction. I want relief from anxiety." What are the things that, the mountains in your life, that Jesus has the power to move, that you have the faith to believe, that you would ask that he would do that? Do you believe Jesus can do these things for you? Do you believe it enough to move past the discouragements that keep you from coming and asking, that maybe are keeping you from crying out, or crying out all the more? Today could be your day. Jesus is passing by. He really is. Jesus is in this place. We need to persist and persevere past discouragement. We need to engage our faith and believe. Don't let your miracle pass you by today. And that leads me to the last point. Bartimaeus responded by following Jesus and glorifying God. It's kind of like what Pastor Fred said earlier in the service. This is like the natural, this should be our natural response when God does something miraculous in our life, when we see God move. Our response is to praise God and to glorify God. That's what Bartimaeus did when his mountain was moved, Luke 18:43. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. I'm not surprised. So what's the first thing Bartimaeus did when he received his sight? He didn't like think, "Whoo, I got to run home and show my family." Right? Or he didn't say, "Hey, let me find some people that I can celebrate with." Or he didn't think like, "Hey, now I can see. I bet I can get a job and I don't have to keep begging." The first thing that he did was to follow Jesus and to glorify God. Actually, I love how the Gospel of Mark describes Bartimaeus' reaction when he was first called over by Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, verse 50, when they said, you know, in the Mark version it says, "Cheer up, the master is calling you." And Bartimaeus, it says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I like the verbs in there. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. The Greek phrase, throwing his cloak aside, really means he abandoned it. He left it behind. And I think what you need to think about with a blind beggar is, back in that day, they would sit on their cloak And as they were begging, people would toss coins on their cloak. That was like part of their thing. And for him to just abandon that and leave that behind, it would be the same as Peter abandoning his fishing nets, or, you know, Mark abandoning his tax booth, or Matthew, right? Bartimaeus was like, I'm throwing it away and I'm getting to Jesus. Kind of reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Bartimaeus got his miracle, and the first thing he did was leave everything behind and follow Jesus. But he also praised and glorified God. That's what it says in the text, in Luke, that he praised and glorified God. And those that were around him praised God as well. That's pretty awesome. So here's the last little subpoint. When we receive answers to prayer, we should share with others the good things God has done. We should. Don't hold them to yourself. Listen, when we get to the end of this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want to hear, I want to know if God has answered prayer in your life. I think we should celebrate together. Praise the Lord together. That God is up to something good. So maybe it goes without saying, but when we receive answers to prayer, when miracles happen, when mountains are moved, our appropriate response is to surrender to God and to testify of his goodness. So as we close today, I want to focus on just two words from the text. And they show up in verse 40, and they're very telling. Okay, just two words. And it's this: Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. I mean, can you just picture this, what's happening on the road? They're all making their way to Jerusalem, and the beggars are making noise anyway. But when he hears this, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. I just want to encourage you that this is the attitude of Jesus towards us when we call out to him. He stops. He stops. When you call out to him, he's listening. When you call out to him, you have his attention. This is Jesus' modus operandi towards his children. If you're a child of God in Christ, he stops. He stopped for Bartimaeus, who probably nobody else would stop for, or very few. So as we close, I want to close with an old hymn. And if we have someone to go into the prayer corners, that would be awesome, because this might be the night, this might be the day that you pray and your mountain is moved. If you have a mountain in your life, come for prayer before you leave this place. But as we close, I want to close with an old hymn. It's called Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Anybody ever hear of that old hymn? Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And it's written by Fanny Crosby. Most of her hymn writing years were in the middle of the 1800s. She was a prolific hymn writer. She was blind. Actually, at 6 weeks old, she became blind. She wrote over 8,500 hymns. Can you imagine that? This is one of them. And she, by the time she was 12 years old, she went to the New York School for the Blind, and she eventually became a teacher there. She became the friend of several presidents throughout her lifetime. And at one point, she actually spoke on behalf of all those that were blind to a session of Congress. And there's another hymn writer by the name of William J. Reynolds. And he discovered what the impetus was for her writing this hymn, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Apparently she had gone to do some ministry in a prison. And she, as she was passing through there, one of the prisoners cried out in a pleading voice, good Lord, do not pass me by. And when she went home that evening, she wrote this hymn. So why don't you stand with me, and we'll sing this. And we'll engage our faith that when we cry out, when we call out, pass me not, Jesus, he'll stop. And you have his attention. All right? So let's sing it together, and then we'll pray. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to have this story recorded in the Gospels, this amazing healing story. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn through this, God. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work in us and on us and around us regarding building our faith, strengthening our faith, exercising our faith, God. We pray for an increase of the miraculous in our lives personally, God. We pray for the increase of the miraculous in our church. God, we will glorify your name. We'll give you the honor. And so, Lord, even tonight, we're calling out to you. Help us to press past the discouragement, God, and to call out all the more, and to know in our heart of hearts that you will stop, and you will pay attention, and you are responsive. So thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you need prayer, hang out. If you want to linger, the worship team has one more song. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a wonderful week.